Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly, the film's Nomadland, Minari, and The Father. And I defy anyone to say Nomadland with a stuffy nose.
Yeah, you're right. It's one of those challenging titles in that respect. Well, you know, Jill, I think I've talked about Nomadland a while ago when it was playing on the film festival circuit, where it was a very big hit. Now it has had its regular streaming premiere, and interestingly, there's different ways of seeing this movie. It's actually showing in IMAX in some places on the huge, gigantic screen, and yet probably most people are going to see it on their small living room screens. So it's sort of all in between, and I can see a case can be made for this movie, seeing it either way. In its way, it's a movie that has a lot of scope and scale. It takes place largely in the outdoors, so the big screen is just fine for that. On the other hand, it's a sort of an intimate movie, and it definitely focuses on individual human beings. And in that respect, the smaller screen is okay too. Now, I have to say that I am the only person this side of Ebenezer Scrooge who is not absolutely crazy about Nomadland. Reviews have been ecstatic, and people seem to be just loving it and all of that. But I have always had my reservations about it, and I still do. And there's a few other people who share my views. So I just want to say it very briefly, now that it's playing everywhere and since it has gotten such phenomenally good reception all over the place. Nomadland it starts off with the idea that there was this town where, as has happened in so many, many places, a big factory shut down, big plant, big company, and lots of people are suddenly unemployed. And what some of these people do, because they really have no other choice, is to start living out of their vans or cars or campers or whatever it is that they happen to have available to them. In this case, the main character, who is played by the wonderful Frances McDormand, is living out of her van. Her name is Fern, and that's what she does, and that's what the movie is about. It's about her adventures and the adventures of other people who are sort of, well, they're nomads. They're moving from one place to another and living in this portable housing. As Fern says at one point, she's not homeless, she's houseless, and there's a big difference to that. So the movie kind of is in a way, it's sort of a semi-documentary, because we have a lot of secondary characters in this movie who are playing people just like apparently their real selves with their same first names and all of that. On the other hand, we have a couple of very gifted, important actors who are in the main roles, Frances McDormand being one, David Strathairn being another, who plays a secondary role. He shows up later in the movie, but, you know, he's just fine. So, of course, the movie is basically a scripted thing. People are, you know, saying lines that they've prepared, and they're doing scenes that they've prepared and rehearsed and all of that. So on one level, it's a sort of a semi-documentary. On another level, it's a sort of a pure fiction film. And some people, I guess, don't like the way these two bump up against each other, these two different modes. That doesn't really bother me. What does bother me about the movie is that the things that are missing from it, the things that are absent from it. I can go either way, say it's a virtue or a failing, that the movie is about these people who feel all this tremendous warmth and human connection for each other, yet they're constantly moving on to another place and not sustaining that connection with each other. They just say, oh, see you again someday, and moving on. So what is it? Are they really concerned and involved with each other on a deep level, or are they just doing this momentarily and then, oh, okay, move on to the next place and the next bunch of people? I didn't think the movie ever quite dealt with that contradiction. More important, things that are real, urgent, pressing problems in America today, especially among people without steady employment and all of that, are simply not touched on in the movie. For example, what happens when somebody gets really, really sick? What happens with health care and stuff like that? For another thing, what about all the problems we hear about with the so-called deaths of despair, the people who are alcoholics or opiate addicts or suicidal, all these? None of this is really in the movie. It's just as if these things didn't exist, even though the movie is is all about people who don't have permanent homes, permanent jobs, permanent support systems. So I just felt all this was missing, and I kept thinking about it in the movie, and when is the movie going to get around to this? And it never got around to it. So all of the sort of lovely human warmth and the lovely gentle performances are very nice, and I'm sure people will go on loving this movie for a very, very long time, and I'm sure it's going to clean up in the Academy Awards and all of that. But I just have to say it's a very nice movie, a very gentle movie, a very sweet movie, and I think it's also a very, very, very incomplete movie, and that bothered me. These things I mentioned are real urgent problems in America today, and I wish this movie had at least touched on them, if not explored them and pointed to possible solutions for them. Our next movie for today, Jill, Minari, is another, you know, pretty small-scale human drama, but a very different kind of a drama, and it deals with another issue which is very current in America today, which is immigration. And Minari, by the way, the title refers to a Korean herb, apparently a very bitter Korean herb, which is very popular in a lot of Korean cooking. And the main characters of this movie are a Korean family who immigrate to the United States, and the movie is not about all the problems of immigration. The movie is about the problem of actually setting up a successful life once you get to a new country, in this case, the United States of America. So we have this family, the Yi family, and they have come to America, and they have not come to the big city. They have come to Arkansas, and the movie takes place back in the 80s. Not a big deal is made out of the time period, but you can see the kind of TV they're looking at and the lack of a lot of cell phones and things like that, that it's not set in our own time. But anyway, these people, this family, it is a mother and a father and a couple of young children. They settle down in Arkansas, where the father is determined, his name is Jacob, that he is going to be a successful farmer. And he wants to do this on his own. One of the earlier things we see in the movie is there's a dowser, a person who's going to show him where to build his well by using a dowsing rod, where to dig a well so they'll have water. But the father won't hire the dowser. The father says, no, I'm going to figure this out myself. I'm going to use my own mind. And so he goes out with their little boy and scouts the terrain and finds a place to dig a well. So that's the sort of guy he is. He wants to do things on his own. His wife is also pretty independent-minded, but she's not so happy with the way things have started out here. For one thing, they're living in a sort of a trailer, and she was expecting a residence, which would be a lot nicer than that once they came to their new home in America. Also, she doesn't like the kind of work they're doing to support themselves while he gets their little farm set up. They're sexing chickens, which means that they spend their days in a big plant looking at the genitals of little baby chicks and putting the males in one box, and they will eventually be discarded, I'm sorry to say, and putting the females in another box, and that's how they're making their living. And then they come back home, and the father goes out to work again, getting the farm set up, and the mother goes back to taking care of their trailer, which she is not happy with at all. She thought they were going to have something a whole lot nicer than that. So that's what the movie is about. Eventually, not too long into the movie, the mother's mother comes to live with them, an old Korean grandmother. And so now they are a family of five living in this little place. And, you know, that's what the movie's about. And again, it's a very warm, small-scale, humanly-scaled human drama. It's a very nice movie. For me, the biggest problem with it is it relies much too much on the younger child and on his cuteness. He is just adorable. And he has a weak heart, which is a big problem, although that turns out to not be a major plot line. He does have a medical problem. But he has all kinds of cute little things he says and adorable little ways he has. And I felt the movie relied too much on that. The movie becomes a bit too cutesy at times as it goes along. The little girl is older than him, and so it relies less on that. But I just found that sort of gimmicky. The movie is not quite as well-rounded as it might be. A very, very interesting character for me was played by the wonderful American character actor Will Patton, who plays a guy who comes to be the sort of hired hand on the little farm that Jacob gets successfully set up. And he's a very, very eccentric character. He's a very enthusiastic evangelical Christian with all kinds of strange Christian customs that seem to belong to him himself. And he's a very interesting and eccentric character, and I liked him a lot. And when he's around, the movie has some real bite, some real surprise to it. Most of the time, that was the problem with Minari, not enough surprise, too much of the adorable child, a little bit too much of the squabbling parents, but it's very interesting to see them deal with very real-type problems that come their way, and it, very, very fine performances. I have to say, this movie is the first feature film written and directed by Lee Isaac Chung, And I think that Lee Isaac Chung is a very, very gifted filmmaker, and again, a very new filmmaker, and I'm sure we're going to be hearing more things. So remember that name, Lee Isaac Chung. Minari is not a perfect movie. In this way, it's a kind of a very small movie, but I liked it, and I was engaged in it throughout. And again, it's getting a wonderful response from audiences, and well, I really recommend it. It's not a movie for everybody, and it's certainly not a great movie, but it's a very, very nice and good movie, and I support it. Final movie for today, The Father, is by another fairly new filmmaker, Florian Zeller, who is from Europe originally, from France originally, and is very well known as a playwright, a rising young playwright, although the movie was co-written by Christopher Hampton, a very major playwright. So again, a lot of theatrical credentials here. But actually, Florian Zeller wrote a play and then with Christopher Hampton adapted it into a screenplay. And you can tell that this movie was at one point a play, because it takes place largely in one apartment and it deals with a very small number of characters. But boy, I found it really, really effective cinematically. And the main reason I found it really effective cinematically is Anthony Hopkins, one of the great actors of our time, and he can do, it appears, just about anything. And I suppose people really know him mostly for Hannibal Lecter in The Silence of the Lambs. And that, of course, is a legendary performance and deservedly so. But he's done a trillion other parts in a trillion other movies of every possible kind. And here he is at the opposite end of the spectrum in his character, whose name is Anthony. And the movie is about, he is a father, yes, the title of the film is accurate, but it is about one very particular thing that this father is engaged with, and that is that he is sinking into dementia. And that is what this movie is about. So be warned, folks. This is a movie about a very, very tough topic. We have an old man played by an old actor, and the old character is sinking into dementia. And one of the fascinating things about the movie, about the screenplay, about the story, about the way it develops, is that we cannot always be sure that the things we are seeing at any given moment are really happening in the real world, or whether they are happening in the mind of the main character, Anthony. And the movie disorients us. It destabilizes us. It discombobulates us in exactly the sorts of ways that its main character is being disoriented and discombobulated as, again, he sinks further and further into his dementia. Now, of course, there are other characters. Some of them are very real. The most important one is his daughter, his adult daughter, who is looking after him, but she has a real life of her own that she's got to lead. And she can't spend all of her time taking care of this guy, and he really needs help pretty much all the time, or at least a great deal of the time. Sometimes he's in wonderful shape. He is cheerful. He is on top of things. He is chipper. He can take care of himself, and he knows what's going on in the world. But then on a dime, he can turn. And he can go into a very different phase. And this is the kind of thing that the daughter is just really not sure how she's going to deal with this at all, much less while maintaining her own life. And then we have these occasional visitations from other people who may or may not be part of the real scene around our main character, Anthony. The movie has a wonderful cast, Olivia Colman, Rufus Sewell, various others. It's beautifully acted, but it is mainly Anthony Hopkins' movie. He just commands the screen. And here we have, it's a wonderful phenomenon. Here we have a character who is a tragic character in all kinds of ways, who is a very lovable character, a very likable character, and at times a very commanding character, but who we know is not going to be continuing on that good trajectory, that he's going to be moving into a very different kind of trajectory. And yet he really is in charge of the movie. He is the one that we are most engaged with, that we are most involved with throughout the entire film. Now, the big thing that I have to say to people who might be thinking about going to see The Father is that I totally recommend it, and I think it's an amazing movie. And in fact, I think it's one of the absolute best movies I've seen in months, and I am sure that it's going to be on my 10 best list at the end of 2021. So how's that for a prediction? If there are other movies as good as this, it's going to be a very good year. But it is not a movie with a happy ending. I wish I could say, well, I don't wish I could say, so I won't say, but it is not a movie where, things turn around, and by the end we have some sort of glimmer of hope or at least of contentment for the future. No, it is not that kind of movie. The pathway that the movie is on continues to its inevitable end. So at the end of the movie, we do not have some kind of a turnaround where things turn out to be, not so bad after all. So be warned about that. In that way, you could call it a kind of a depressing movie. But I never find a beautifully written, superbly directed, and above all, virtuosically acted movie, I can never find that depressing. I find it a very important movie, a very uncompromising movie, and a movie which in all respects is just beautifully, beautifully, beautifully done. So steel yourself, get ready for an experience which is not going to be a happy one, but by all means see The Father. It's an extraordinary movie. So that is my somewhat downer of a story this week, Jill.
Or upper if you're doing good movies. Thank you very much, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films Nomadland, Minari, and The Father.